This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Most every Michigander knows a trip up north on I-75 brings you through Grayling. How many of us know that city is named for a fish species that has not been seen in Michigan waters for nearly a century? But there are high hopes that Arctic grayling will soon be home in Michigan again. Let's find out more now as we turn to Nancy Auer, who's a professor of biology at Michigan Tech. So good to have you with us, Nancy.
Thank you, and good to be here.
The state of Michigan used to be one of the few places in the world where people could find the Arctic grayling. In fact, as we said, we have a city named after the fish, but we haven't seen one in Michigan since the 1930s. What happened?
Well, a lot of things happen, and probably the most significant is in those days of the early 1900s. You know, our stocks of fishes were not managed to the extent that we have today. They're not, you know, surveys and those kinds of things don't occur. And so people pretty much fish where and when they wanted and often took large numbers. Also, the fact that the grayling is an easier fish to catch. It's a fish that will take a hook and a fly probably more readily than most other fishes.
So certainly overfishing is a problem. And then there were also introduction of some non-native species that kind of changed things, didn't it?
Right. We have a lot of invasives as well as non-natives that were introduced. So a whole combination of things and events occurred that allowed for just the demise of the grayling. And as we're seeing, as we study the fish in the lab, it does seem to have a bit more delicate nature to it than maybe some of our hardier salmonids that we're used to.
Now, currently, we can only find Arctic grayling in Alaska, Russia, Canada, and Montana. Am I right?
Pretty much, yep.
Yeah, and there have been attempts to revive the species in Michigan, but they have failed. So your team at Michigan Tech is helping get this off the ground again here in Michigan with remote site incubators. What is that?
Actually, they're small five-gallon pails or buckets with a lid, and they're manufactured and constructed in such a way that water will flow in at the bottom of the pail and then rise slowly upward and spill out the top. And this is great for grayling eggs, as you can put some in the bottom, they'll stay down there, and the water will circulate around them, and then upon hatching and yolk absorption, the young will begin to swim up, and they can just flow out with the surface water. And for grayling, it happens very quickly, so having a bucket or a pail in a river where you can monitor it for 5 days or so is much cheaper, allows for imprinting of the grayling young to the river, and should hopefully not be too expensive.
And this has been working in Montana.
Right. They do it in Montana in a lot of the river systems.
What are the ideal locations for grayling?
Well, there's a whole suite of different parameters, temperature conditions, river flow, sediment in the river or not, other species of organisms in the river that might prey upon the little ones. So it's not an easy answer. It's not like we can say, well, if we find a river with X, Y, and Z, it'll work perfectly. We have to test it out. And we're very appreciative for the Montana folks because they've been really working hard on identifying the fact and living with the fact that no 2 years are ever the same in a river system. And they're pretty firmly with the understanding that you need, you know, 3 to 5 years of an effort on a river before you say, yeah or no, we're going to stop.
So you're saying, I can hear you say, this is a long-term project. We're not going to be seeing this all come to fruition in the next year.
No.
How long do you think it will take, Nancy, before we could take a boat out on Michigan waters and catch some Arctic grayling?
Probably maybe 10 years. And the reason for that is one of the things that has, how this all came about was the tribe, the Little River Band of Ottawa Indians near Manistee, really wants to bring back natives. They're culturally important to their people. And one of the natives that they really want is the grayling. And so they have put a lot of money into a very big study that we've completed on looking at all the biological as well as the non-biological aspects of what these fish need. And so now the tribe and the state are planning to work together to really iron out even more critically some good management plans as to which rivers we should do this and who's going to look after them and who's going to track the outcomes of some of our efforts. So it will be a state, tribe, and university effort throughout the state, and will take some time
to do it right.
To do it right, yeah.
Yeah, there certainly does seem to be something special in people's minds about the grayling. What is so special about the grayling and that emotional attachment people have to it?
I think once you start naming some places, you know, you think of grayling and the fame that town. I don't think you can do it much anymore, but you could in the past go to some of the antique stores and see a mounted grayling that someone had found for sales in antiques. But, you know, people have identified with the fish. Certainly the tribes have identified with grayling, and it's an amazingly beautiful fish, and it's something I think we all feel something special when we can bring back a species or rehabilitate a population where it comes back strong, because there's hope then for other species and ourselves as well.
Nancy Auer, biology professor at Michigan Tech. Nancy, thanks so much for sharing your work with us.
All righty. Thank you.